Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, babe.
I go out of range. Hi, I love you.
I love you too. Ready to talk about some sex?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Hey, you want to, you know what? You want to know something kind of cool?
Yes.
I don't get these fucking notifications. I always have to find this stuff out like in by other means, but we were featured in Women's Health.
I saw that. I've been meaning to tell you that, but it's just such a hectic week. I did. Well, yeah. I saw our friends at Private Parts Unknown post their listing.
Feature.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I was like, I wonder if we're on that list. And then sure enough,
we were.
Women's Health.
So Women's Health, the 21 best sex podcasts about relationships, erotica, kinks, and more. We were within that 21 groups of podcasts, which is kind of cool. It was a pretty sweet little
blurb
list. The blurb was great, but the list was really, you know, it's nice to be in good company.
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't recognize a lot of those podcast names, like our friends, Private Parts, and also Shameless Sex is one that I listened to a handful of times. Actually, I may have only listened to one episode of theirs,
yeah.
And it was recently. It had to do with, like, I feel like some of the more political things that are going on in the world. Yeah.
So that's cool. So to Women's Health, thank you. Thank you for the feature. And to everyone who's been supporting the podcast since it started, especially our patrons, thank you, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And in turn, we wouldn't be featured in Women's Health if it wasn't for you. So,
and we'll be cutting that out of the newspaper and putting it in each of your individual scrapbooks.
That's right. Hey, we've got a couple things to talk about, but I have one thing that I wanted to run by you. It's been such a fucking crazy past few days because there's a lot going on work-wise in my life, and especially with Sick Boy, my other podcast. We're doing a live show tonight, as this was released, tonight. And
Wednesday, July 8th.
July 8th, that's right. If you're listening to this right now, like as we release this, Wednesday, July 8th, tonight at 9 p.m. Atlantic time, we're doing a live show. And if you want to join, I highly suggest you do. Go to Sick Boy podcast.com/shows and you get your tickets there. But I've been putting in a lot of like a lot of work to put the content together for what we're covering on the show. So a little spoiler alert for anyone who is attending the show, you might want to skip ahead a little bit because I'm going to get into some of the stuff that we were talking about in the live show, but also because I feel like it's kind of, this. I found this to be fucking fascinating. So, okay, babe, what are your thoughts? How are you, what are your feelings on butt stuff?
Like, you like presently or generally? I like it.
Generally, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. do you like having your butt?
Yep. Does it count the butt cheeks or not? Or do I
I'm talking anus. I'm talking anal. I'm talking butthole stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So some people love butt stuff. Some people do not like butt stuff. Some people get really weirded out by their butts. I have a fascination with butts. Always have.
Buttholes.
Yeah. Everything to do with butts, especially like as of late, like my own relationship to my butthole has completely changed ever since I had, like 70% of my colon removed. And so, you know, like I like to know about poop and I like to like look into stuff about poop and.
Oh, great. Is this going to be a poop story?
It's not. No, it's not. So I was steering down that lane. Doing research into this thing, which is referred to as a smart toilet. So there was an abstract that was released on. I also love tech. Okay, so I love tech, and I love butts.
Can I just before you continue with this? I had this vision of you here in this conversation already. When you're like, if you're listening to this right now as we release it, and I pictured you laying in bed at like 6 a.m. with your earphones in, radio silence, and then all of a sudden, Turn Me On theme song like just starts going out of nowhere, like literally in the moment. So I'm already seeing you in the story, in bed, headphones in, plugged into things. Does the smart toilet poop for you?
No. Okay. So this is considered like a home medical device. So it's a mountable toilet seat or a mountable toilet, kind of like our bidet, right? Our tushy.
You don't mount the tushy though.
Yeah, you do. You mount it onto your toilet bowl.
Of course you do. I meant you don't mount your body onto.
No. Well, I mean, you kind of do. You mount yourself over top of the toilet bowl, but you know what I mean? It's like you mount this like. So this smart toilet is something you would like replace your toilet seat with this thing.
Okay.
And so I took the abstract from Nature, the journal, like the scientific journal Nature. So very, very reputable, source, like as reputable as it comes. This is a lot of like fucking jargon and stuff, but, okay, so this might go over. This still goes over my head. I don't know how to like make sense of any of this, but technologies for the longitudinal monitoring of a person's health are poorly integrated with clinical workflows and have rarely produced actionable biometric data for healthcare providers. Okay, sure. Here we describe easily deployable hardware and software for the long-term analysis of a user's excreta, which is
Latin for
excretions, poop and pee. Excreta through data collection and models of human health. Okay, so the smart toilet, which is self-contained and operates autonomously by leveraging pressure and motion sensors, analyses of the user's urine using a standard of care colorimetric assay that traces red, green, blue values from images of your analysis strips. Jesus Christ. Okay. Calculates the flow and rate of the volume of the urine using a computer vision as a euro flow meter, yada, yada, yada. And classifies stool according to the Bristol stool form scale using deep learning. Okay. So basically, like, you have this whole fucking thing. And here's the part that really got me going, huh, what does that mean? And I went a little deeper. All right. Okay. Follow me on this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, I'm with you.
Each user of the toilet is identified through their fingerprint and the distinctive features of their anoderm. Do you know what the anoderm is?
Something to do with skin.
The anoderm is your butthole. Is like if you looked at the anoderm, it's like Like, yeah, if you're ever watching like anal porn and like you see like a gaping butthole, you're staring deep into the anoderm.
Okay.
Okay. So, so each toilet, each user of the toilet is identified through their fingerprint and the distinctive features of their anoderm, and the data is securely stored and analyzed in an encrypted cloud server. Okay. So, so here's what all this means.
I know what this means.
These scientists made a toilet bowl that has cameras that analyzes your butthole as a biometric, like, identifier. And apparently, through that, you can, there's like, it's a, you can get diagnoses and screening processes of your particular, like, health, gut health, I don't know, like, you know, like bowel health.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Our buttholes are like as unique as our our fingerprints. And so I did a little more digging. There's an article that was written on The Verge by this guy, Taylor Lyles. And they go in and they say, the anal print is the toilet's primary way of identifying each user. Much to the author's dismay, it is also the aspect of the toilets that has gotten the most attention since the paper describing the proto-toilet was published in a press release in Nature, which I just read. And this is what the the author of that article on Journal had said. So this is like one of the founders of this idea of this smart toilet. They said, it's a minor part of our system. Okay, so they're like, don't get caught up on the butthole thing. But they're saying it's a minor part of our system. And then they say, the idea for an anal print, this is what I wanted to talk to you about today. The idea for an anal print was sparked by Salvador Dali, who discovered that the anus has 35 or 37 creases, which are as unique as fingerprints. So then I'm like, Salvador Dali, as in the artist? So I go down this whole fucking rabbit hole about Salvador Dali. Turns out that fucking guy was a total freak. He was a total pervert.
Was he perv?
Oh, total perv. Like, I mean, and I don't say perv pejoratively. I mean, he could have been. I don't know. But I mean,
he was kinky.
Oh, he was, yeah, very much so. And he was very obsessed with buttholes. So
interesting.
Then found this. I sound like a fucking conspiracy theorist.
No, I'm loving this rabbit hole.
Then found this. Okay, so this is an article about Salvador Dali. According to Roger Peyrefitte, I don't know how to pronounce that last name, Dali's invariably well-informed housekeeper, all right, this is Roger. According to Roger, Dali had a large collection of dildos which he would offer to his models of either sex when he had a little indulgence in mind. Some of these dildos irreverently had the heads of unexpected people on their shafts. The Pope, Hitler, St. Teresa, De Gaulle, and others. Okay, so now you're getting the idea.
That's scandalous.
Dali's a little
That's
fucking...
That's like the most scandal that mm-hmm. I've legit ever heard of.
Okay, so he's down
the
to...
He's
down to get weird.
Mother Teresa.
So then this continues. I had to cut a bunch of stuff out of this article, but it continues. He compared the vagina to a cauliflower and commented that it was nature's ruse to ensure reproduction, but that the true organ of love was the anus. In the vagina, one might poke about without really knowing what one was up to. But in the arsehole, there was no room for any such uncertainty. Dali made these observations in a conversation recorded for French television, though, of course, it was never broadcast, and declared roundly, quote, the most important thing in the world is the arsehole, unquote. For Dali...
Wait, I can't.
The most important thing in the world is the arsehole.
I love that fucking word.
Arsehole? I know.
Arsehole.
Arsehole. For Dali, the body no longer had any secrets. He had devised a special procedure. So this is where it gets really interesting. And this is where we come full circle back to the butthole anal print. He had devised a special procedure which interested Roger Peyrefitte greatly to ensure that a woman on all fours would present her anus to greatest advantage. he would place a spirit level. I don't know what a spirit level is. I'm guessing it's like a some sort of level. So like, so you can tell like how you like level out like a painting on the wall or something.
Yeah.
He would place a level on her back. And when the air bubble was precisely in the middle, he claimed her anus would flower in its full glory. On occasion, he would ask female visitors to sit on a bed of moist clay with their buttocks parted in order to take an impression of their orifices. He would subsequently frame the impressions, adding the names of the ladies in question. Supposedly, and this again demonstrates Dali's tirelessly investigative cast of mind, the anus had 35 or 37 little creases, which are as unique as fingerprints. He regretted that he could not account for the variation in number, but noted that it had nothing to do with social class, and that 35s were as likely to be found among the aristocracy as among the working classes. Only the backsides of identical twins had exactly the same pattern and number of creases. He conducted experiments to substantiate his claim and made the impressions of twins behinds into candelabra, which I think is some sort of like, either it's like an art piece or like a place. I couldn't quite figure that out. So, okay. So all that said, which reading that sounds fucking insane, but coming back to this piece of this scientific journal post in Nature, the scientist, the doctor who's behind the smart toilet, literally references how Salvador Dali is the person who figured out that our buttholes are the same as our fingerprints.
That's really interesting.
How fucking crazy is all that?
That's crazy. When was he a thing? When was he relevant? Like, when was he around?
I think like maybe, probably going to butcher this. I think like maybe in the 60s or... Salvador Dali. I Googled last night. Salvador Dali was a pervert?
Question mark?
Salvador Dali, his life took place. Born. Oh my God, he lived a long time. Born 1904.
Okay.
And died in 1989.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting that I love the idea of a moist clay bed. I'm not going to lie. I would. Let my butthole flower open on that thing. I think that sounds kind of with a wait. So if the spine or if the back was perfectly level, that was perfect position for the butthole to flower.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, I mean, I can't really quite make sense of it, but according to what his housekeeper was saying was that once he would get a lady get on all fours, and then once the bubble hits the middle, her butthole would go, wah, and just like flower.
Interesting. That's the sound that it makes. I thought you were going to make something more like poppy, you know, like it popping open. But
it's yeah, man. I don't like after reading that. I don't think I'll ever look at a butthole the same way. Like I'm going to, because I you know, in my own like personal sex life. I love buttholes. I love the look of a butthole. I love the feeling of a butthole. But I've never obsessed about it to the point where I like, you know, I'm like trying to pick out the intricacies of like the you know the. I mean, it's just so
you don't gaze into the anoderm.
I look at and into buttholes, or I have in the past, but I've never gazed so deeply at a butthole where I've had like, where I've, you know, I've never Salvador Dali'd a butthole yet.
Like that's some time and attention.
Dude, fuck, I'd say.
And like to count, I would imagine you'd have to like hold the butthole still. Cause it could, a butthole knew that a face was is that close to it. I feel like it like puckers and
I've
clenches
seen
and puckers
yeah.
and clenches, you know?
Yeah, I've seen the like, it's like a, it's almost like a fluttering, a butthole.
A jellyfish.
Flutter.
It looks exactly like a jellyfish sort of bobbing through the water.
Yeah.
And so you'd kind of have to like probably put your fingers, you'd probably have to make like, put your thumb and your index finger together and hold the butthole in place.
Yeah.
Or maybe more your middle finger if you need more space. And then you'd have to count. I would imagine using a tool like a toothpick or something just to move the crease, like to count, to really count the creases, like to make sure you're really seeing it.
35, 37, like that's
a lot.
What I find really interesting is that it didn't say between 35 to 37. It was 35 or 37.
I wonder if they're probably not. No, they wouldn't be symmetrical. No, they wouldn't be symmetrical.
I'm not quite sure. Like
we're gonna have to.
I mean, let me see. Let me see. I'm gonna look up 35 crevices.
Do you want to try to count how many creases you have for next week?
Yeah, I could try to. I'd be down for that. Oh, dude, man, why do when I search that, do I just get really gnarly photos of hemorrhoids? I don't want that.
Well, that would definitely affect your butthole print.
How do you spell crevice? C-R-E-V-A?
V-I-C-E.
V-I-C-E. Is it crevice?
Yeah.
Hold on. Really? Hold on. 35, 37 little creases. Sorry, creases. Let's go 35 creases anus. 35 creases anus. Again, just not very nice photos. This is, none of this is very nice. Part of me is kind of like, why the fuck would that? I think the reason why I want to dive into this and why we're definitely going to dive into it on the live show is like how, you know, when we talk about scientific, experiments and scientific data, there's like a real way to find that data and it's like there's a method, there's a really like concrete method. Was Dolly following some sort of like scientific method or why the fuck would the person who wrote that in Nature just casually be like Salvador Dolly? Like, is it that legit? Is
I
what
don't
he
know.
Found out?
This will take more research to find other sources that also make this a credible thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so funny. Imagine, like, I found when I was sorting through my parents' house, I found, my baby fingerprints that I've been given for, like, a passport or I can't remember what it was for. And
they should have done baby anal print.
Well, I mean,
They might as well start doing that.
Well, it sounds like they are. And they're going to have all of our buttholes coded and all of our health, gastric health information just uploaded to the cloud. And
so, yeah, if you Google anal print, all that comes up is referencing this Nature article. That's it.
That must be because everyone
that's why the scientist was like, this isn't, hold on, this isn't what this is about. You're getting carried away. It's about much more. And they're like, but yeah. But what did you say about this anal print?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's really funny. And it's funny that you brought that up because CBC, I was just listening to CBC and they did a show about, I think it was CBC, about Da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, he was a gay man. I didn't realize, but he hated vaginas. He thought they were, it was an abomination that we had to pass through one to enter the world.
Right.
He just thought that they were horrendous, but he loved the female figure and he loved penises.
Interesting. Well, I mean, Jesus Christ, that sounds a lot. I mean, according to what I read, and again, I'm not an art historian and I don't know much about art period. But according to what I read, it seemed like Salvador Dali was kind of on the same boat in that he's not very fond of vaginas, but he loves dicks and he loves buttholes and he loves, I mean, I think he loves the female, like all forms.
Didn't you say, start by saying he referenced the vagina in some way?
He called it a cauliflower. I don't even know what that means.
Oh yeah, cauliflower. That's not really, that's not a very flattering
visual. I don't even know what he's fucking, what does that fucking mean? A cauliflower? What does that even mean? When I think of cauliflower ear, I go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That because it looks like a cauliflower. I've never looked at a vagina and gone, ugh, look at this weird cauliflower. I look at a vagina and if anything, my mind goes to like mollusks. You know, something from the sea or flower, like flowers. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
Definitely not cauliflower. Maybe fruit.
Definitely not cauliflower. Yeah, fruit. Yeah, what do you call it? What's a good fruit?
I don't mango. Know my fruit.
Yeah, mango. But what's the more sort of this shape? This one here.
A pear.
Yeah, sort of like a pear, but not a pear.
Papaya.
Yeah, maybe papaya.
A lot of
squash. Squash, like you cut a squash in half. Does that kind of look like a pussy?
Well, more than a cauliflower, maybe. I don't know.
I don't get the cauliflower thing. I don't.
He probably saw like one vagina and was like.
Oh, he definitely saw more than one vagina.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Dude, this guy was. I'm telling you, this guy was like. This guy was. He didn't care. I think he just loved sex.
You know what?
He was having sex with everything.
Do you think he was having sex with vaginas or mostly buttholes, though, and penises?
Well, I would say buttholes exclusively based on... babe, I quote again, the most important thing in the entire world is the arsehole.
The arse. Well, where did that come from? The arse?
I don't know.
I wonder what... I mean... What happened recently that both of these artists sort of got hauled into the light for their, maybe it's because it became okay suddenly to talk about arseholes and vaginas in the public eye.
Oh my God, dude. Cambridge Dictionary? Jesus Christ.
What'd you call it?
The Cambridge Dictionary?
Yeah.
Arse. The part of your body that you sit on. Used in a sentence, she has a huge arse. Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me?
She has a huge...
Is the Cambridge Dictionary just like another version of no, Urban Dictionary?
No, it's a legit thing.
What the fuck? She has a huge arse. I'm going to go. Merriam-Webster is the one I always trust. Merriam-Webster. Arse, noun. Variant of ass. Informal plus polite. Buttocks. Often used in emphatic reference to a specific person. Get your ass over here. Save my ass. Informal plus impolite. Anus. Two. Offensive. Sexual intercourse. Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
What's Urban Dictionary say about
Urban Dictionary? Let's see.
Arse.
Arse. The word for a person's rear end spoken by people who use correct English. Americans are so dumb that they cannot pronounce a word in their own language. They say ass for arse. Ass is a synonym for donkey. Poor donkey.
Aw. There you go. So, yeah. Folks, I don't know. How would you feel if someone was like, slap my arse?
Well, I mean, I'm from St. John's, Newfoundland. Yeah. I'm from St. John's, Newfoundland, so I'd be like...
That's a good East Coast arse on ya.
You got it.
That's my
one arse slapping coming right up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Speaking of English language, did you see the news about irregardless?
What's
in the dictionary.
Irregardless?
Yeah.
Is that not a word? That not a word before?
It wasn't a word before. No. And everyone would be like, it's regardless.
Well, irregardless. That doesn't.
Yeah. People are all in a huff about it. I love it.
I didn't know that. So, but now it is a word because people just use it so much?
Yeah, now it's a word. It's been legitimized. You know, like words like humongous wasn't a word.
Humongous wasn't a word?
No, it's huge and enormous, and they got mixed together.
Humongous. Yeah. Humongous was huge and enormous?
And enormous. Humongous.
That should be hunormous.
You're right. Anyway, one of those words.
Enormuge.
Maybe it's is it humongous? Maybe it's... It's a word that means enormous and huge.
Okay, sure, whatever.
And gigantic. Yeah, those words combined.
Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I also this week, doing a bit of research into what we could talk about, came across a really interesting article. You want to hear this?
Yes, please.
A Massachusetts city will recognize polyamorous relationships as a part of a new domestic partnership ordinance. This is a CNN article by Alex Snyder and Myrna Al-Sharif. The city of Somerville, Massachusetts, will now recognize polyamorous relationships after the city council voted in favor of a new domestic partnership ordinance in a meeting last Thursday. Councillor Lance Davis, who supported the ordinance, told CNN he believes this is the first ordinance of its kind in the country. The domestic partnership ordinance was brought to the city council recently as a means to help residents who are not married to visit their partners who are sick with coronavirus at the hospital, according to Davis. Oh, interesting. Right before the meeting last Thursday where the ordinance was going to be voted on, Councillor J.T. Scott suggested to Davis it should include partnerships of more than two people. The domestic partnership ordinance was brought to the council by Davis to encompass this change in a virtual meeting Thursday evening. Davis recommended tweaking the ordinance so that partners weren't required to live together or inform the city of change of address. Mayor Joseph Curatone signed the ordinance into law Monday, according to Davis. The office of the mayor did not immediately return a request for comment. He was just like, I'll sign it, just I don't want to fucking talk about it. This is Somerville's first domestic partnership ordinance, according to Davis, meaning the city now joins nearby Boston and Cambridge, which also have such ordinances. Massachusetts became the first U.S. state to legalize same-sex marriage in 2004. It's pretty fucking cool, hey?
That is super cool.
Yeah.
I just had this like all love matters banner run through my head and I was like, this is great. This is totally a win.
Is that something you've seen before?
No, it just flew through my
head. All love matters?
All love matters. And I was like thinking it and I was like, you know, this is, I was listening to you, but I was also thinking about how it's relevant to like, as a woman who doesn't have children, but I have a dog. And, you know, like the other day I got really sad about these 52 racehorses that were going to be sent to slaughter on the East Coast here. So I posted on Facebook. It's been a scam that's going on the internet for like months and months and months. But someone was like,
a scam as in it's not actually real?
It's not real. I mean, I'm sure that shit happens anyway, but I posted it and people were like, it's a scam. And I was like, well, you know, at least I don't have to worry about... That shit would have kept me up at night. I would have been I have room for 52 racehorses anywhere in my life?
No, you don't.
They're free.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just
There's something kind of nice that is also coming out of the result of coronavirus. Because, you know, it's like, I think it's safe to say, I'm sure there's a number of our listeners that are non-monogamous in some way, shape, or form. And... like COVID has like COVID has just uprooted and shaken up all of us in our own unique ways. But like to be in a polyamorous relationship,
yeah,
I know I like personally speaking, it's been fuck, like, I couldn't have imagined how much this would be affecting my interpersonal relationships and intimate relationships. And so, you know, it's so hard. It would have been impossible to know what COVID would have done to any part of our life. You know, like even the thought of like having, you know, we now live in this house that's empty. We don't have any roommates anymore. And it's like, fuck, how do we afford a house that typically has two other roommates, but we don't have roommates anymore. And it's all because of COVID, like all those things that you just didn't think about. And so, you know, there's something kind of nice to know that through the hardship of COVID, there, at least in this town of Somerville, God, what if just a sweet sounding place too? Somerville, Massachusetts.
Aww.
Sounds really cute. So it's kind of nice. That's nice to know. And you know, I think moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
I wish you could see comments on this article.
Oh, man.
Sure they would be fucked.
I was definitely thinking about that. I'm so glad that people don't listen to our show just to write to us and tell us how awful we are, you know?
Oh,
wouldn't that
man.
Be hilarious? Maybe we should. We should have that person. And then we could read their emails out loud every week.
Hey, I would love to read hate mail. If you have hate mail, send it to turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. And we would gladly read your hate mail on the show.
I would love to read your hate mail. And it doesn't even have to be about us. If you have something you just need to rant about, like both Jeremy and I would love to read your rant about anything.
Yeah.
That you want her.
Especially if it's about how you hate the way that we live our lives.
Yeah. If it's especially too, if it's something that we have no control over at all, or mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, because I love reading that shit. Mostly because it just makes me so happy that my existence makes you feel so upset that you need to sit down and waste time out of your day to let me know that. I love that.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Because I want you to tell me who you're speaking to and what you think you're doing to them when you say that.
I hope I'm giving them more fuel to sit down and waste more of their day to let me know what they think of me.
What you hope is that you're adding fuel to their fire. That they're
100%.
Just going, okay.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I just want them to be seething at the teeth even more.
Why do you want to pour fuel on a raging fire?
Because these days I am really you know what? It's a good question, babe. I'm probably adding
cranky?
More stress to my own life. I'm just so flabbergasted at like, and this, you know, this is kind of getting off topic to our podcast, but like I'm just so fucking mind blown at how delusional and how moronic and how fucking like stunned a large swath of our population has become. These fucking mouth breathing yokels that are out there complaining about wearing a fucking mask,
okay,
or complaining about getting a chip installed in them via a vaccine. Honestly, get out there without your mask and get out there without your vaccines, because the sooner you wipe yourself off this planet, the better off we'll all be.
Okay. Ooh. That was a rant from our listener, our favorite listener. No, I hear what you're saying, but.
And then on top of that, it's okay. So more in line with like our podcast, it's like when we do it, when CBC does like this, you know, really wonderful piece on polyamory, and they use us as an example and interview us and then broadcast that on their network and then share that via their social media to like gain traction on their, you know, they're looking for clicks. So they're trying to get people to look at the comments in the social media of people, you know, probably these same fuckheads, these fucking dum-dums who think that vaccines are going to kill you or give you fucking autism. It's those idiots that are then also, you know, sitting there being like, this fucking cuck this fucking cuck's letting his wife get fucked by, and it's like, okay, yeah, sure, man. Yeah, keep it going there, bud. Like, just let evolution, let Darwinism at its fucking, like, just let it work its way through you. Because we don't need you, and you're basic, and see you later.
Okay. I love everything you said, and I love you. But I just want to draw some attention to. So, okay, I'll tell you why this filter that I'm listening to you through is Brené Brown's latest podcast episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I like this already.
You like it already?
You know that I don't actually wish unwell
ill on
upon,
someone.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Of course,
I don't. I'm turning this up for fucking the podcast. But yeah. but I am definitely like a bit fed up with.
Yeah.
With the amount of imbeciles that have like somehow just like I'm upset not at the people that are dumb enough to believe that shit. I'm upset at the fact that people feel so lost that they fall for that stuff. Like, you know, it's like this poor fucking guy who we put out a post about vaccinations on Sick Boy. And this guy gets on Instagram and he starts leaving comments, like anti-vaxxer comments. And it's like, and people, you know, our fucking listeners are so amazing. And they chime in and they're like, hey, listen, provide us with some sort of evidence that you like that what you are talking about is true. Give us anything. And yeah. And his evidence is like Infowars.com YouTube links. And it's like, okay, dude, what happened? Like where who didn't hug you? Where did you, where, like, what the fuck happened in your life that you feel so lost that you're eating this bullshit?
Okay. Great segue. Listen to this podcast episode because I hear what you're saying. And one thing I just want to address is like the other day I made a list in my head of like people that I was like done of hearing from. And in my mind, they were one person. And I was like, oh. There's the people that are like me that are da 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 da. And then there's people that are over here who don't want to wear masks, who say, who like say all lives matter or like, you know what, like that issue isn't a big deal, who, you know, are upset about 5G, who are upset about vaccines, who are like, and all of a sudden I realize that what I've created here, I've said, there's two types of people. There's people like me, and there's people like them.
Dumbs like them.
And I group them all together. But then I think about, it's funny because I accept friend requests on Facebook without, even if I don't know people, generally, if we have enough friends in common, I'm like, sure, whatever. Yeah. But as a result, I get a lot of people I don't know, people I'm not frequent in circles. And in a way, I'm like, well, I'll keep them on my feed. I don't really check my Facebook feed that often, but I'll keep them on my feed because I don't want to be in a, I want to know what people are talking about.
Yeah. Until they say something. You want to have your finger on the pulse. Sure. Yeah.
Until they say something that I don't agree with enough times or in a tone that I'm like, I can't handle that person anymore because they're whatever. I'm not on Facebook that often, but anyway, but I'm starting to like block people who have these opinions that I deem as less superior than my own. Or less based in fact or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I am sort of, you know, quieting down my echo chamber is just, again, just like things that satisfy what I believe to be true or whatever. Mm. But some of those people are also people I know from other contexts that are like great people and everything. And like the only dissonance I have is suddenly now where they're like, I don't want to have to wear a mask. It doesn't, it's not helpful. Like all the people are saying, like, it doesn't actually protect you. And I get the other argument. I'm a mask wearer. Like if I have it, I fucking don't want to spread it. I might be asymptomatic. I could have it. Of course. Like other people's safety is more important than my comfort. Mm-hmm. And also it looks badass to wear a mask. I don't think it's conforming. I'm like, fuck yeah. I got my first cold sore. Put that fucking mask on me. I don't want to walk around the world.
Right. Also, it should be said that it also, I mean, the
science.
This is all new. It's all coming out. Yeah. Like it doesn't just fucking happen overnight. We are not a culture where masks have ever been present, unlike a lot of like Asian countries where it's just standard.
Yeah.
So we don't have a culture of it, but we're starting to learn these things, and the data is coming out that it not only is it you protecting others from you, but it's also protecting yourself. Mm. Even if it's a fucking the most like basic bitch fucking scarf
barrier
over your face.
Between your hands and
that's
your mouth.
It.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the best.
No.
It's not going to be like, you know, it's not going to be like a medical grade mask, but it's still better than nothing.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever. Dude, I'll die on that fucking hill of calling these people dummies. But
yeah, no, I get it. But listen to this podcast episode.
Yes.
Because what's happened?
It's Brené Brown's podcast, what's the episode?
So her podcast is called Unlocking Us, and so she's done some really great episodes lately. She's been doing anti-Black racism, studying, she's been doing that for years. She's got great guests on recently speaking about that. And before, you know, she's a fascinating little character, but she has this, she's a shame researcher. That's her.
Yeah.
That's what she does.
Yeah. And her whole thing's like shame versus guilt, right?
Well, yeah, she's a shame researcher, but most people, she became popular on the scene when she talked about I think it was vulnerability.
Was her big one on TED Talks. But she has a couple of TED Talks, and I think one is actually like very specific, like shame versus guilt.
Well, this
and the difference between the two.
Yeah, so she talks about that in this podcast. So she pops on this latest episode and is like, "Hey, it's just me this week," and I thought we need like basically talk about shame again. And it's called Brené on Shame and Accountability. And so it's very much filtered. It's on through the context of anti-Black racism work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first thing that she said in the early part of the episode that hit home for me was like, feeling shame is not the same as being shamed. And so I think that made me feel like she was addressing,
right?
Yeah, just some really important feelings that people might be having about what's going on. And so I listened to it once and I had another like mind explosion moment where she talked about what shame does to us in childhood. So she gives this example that she does in some of her other conversations where it's like, someone calls you out and humiliates you or makes you feel ashamed as a kid. And it makes you develop stories about yourself as a learner, let's say. So your teacher shames you for, you know, in front of the class. This happened to me in kindergarten. Teacher shames you for being too loud, to saying something like too loudly in the room. I felt embarrassed. So I felt like I was being shamed, blah, blah, blah. So this whole thing, first listen was like little light bulbs of like, oh my God, like
I know this.
And I think so many people would feel this. And then it talks about guilt, where guilt's more about like behavior and it's about accountability. It's like, oh, I'm a good person. I made a bad decision and blah, 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 blah. But someone feeling shame is like, I am bad.
Right.
I am like unworthy of love. And so it's this amazing, episode. I've on my fourth listen to it.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm still being like, oh
still
my God.
Pulling out nuggets. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'll 1000%. I'll listen to that tomorrow morning when I'm starting my day.
Yeah, it's a good, like, you know, it's nice to listen to someone who can talk about something like shame, but still leave you feeling like uplifted.
Yeah, she's a fucking dream guest of mine.
Yeah,
for Sick Boy.
Yeah, she is a cool, cool person.
Yeah,
I mean, and yet when she tells stories from her personal life, you're like, you're a little in your head, you know,
Yeah.
But she's really relatable.
Did you watch her Netflix special?
I loved her Netflix special.
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah,
she's great. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for that, babe. Like I always say, you're my you're my biggest teacher. So thanks for putting a little bit of perspective into my, putting some respect on my name.
And that's my Jessa tip for everybody.
Okay, there you go. Nice. Cool. Hey, 1 second. I got to go take a piss real quick, and then we'll hit the brain butter.
Okay.
I'll be right back. I'll just keep, let it roll.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's hit this brain boner. Actually, before we do, because I didn't really get an answer from you earlier about that mountable toilet that takes your anal print and uploads it to the cloud. How would you do? Would you get on board with that, or would you feel weird about a camera taking a, like analyzing your butthole and uploading it to an encrypted cloud server?
I would actually be totally fine with that.
So would I.
I would be really only, I mean, I get access to the results, right? Like it's it's not for the government.
It's for your doctor.
Yeah. I think actually there's something to that that's like, fuck yeah, that seems like the most cutting edge health diagnostic tool.
Yeah.
That I've ever heard of because
at home. Like there's just something you just like it's just passively there.
Exactly.
There is one huge caveat though, which is it will give you autism. So, you know, you gotta weigh out the pros and cons, right?
It
pros
sterilizes you.
Yeah. all right, let's hit this brain boner. Do you want to read it, Bride?
Yeah, let me just bring it up here on my telephone, eh? I got really missing karaoke today. It was my first big COVID. I was like, if I'm missing anything, it's karaoke. Rubbing my mouth against a microphone that other people rubbed their mouths
on. You know what they're going to have to start doing? Is they're going to have to start putting like little, what do you call those like hats that you'd wear in a kitchen or something? Like a
toupe?
Hairnet. A hairnet. They're going to have to put like hairnet sort of cloths on the mics and then and sterilize the mic after every person. Dude, I feel bad for anyone whose life
revolves around karaoke.
Who made their living off of karaoke.
Well, man.
Those days are if you want to
reconnect with the great pastime of karaoke in your own home and you just need a song that you can like belt, can I please recommend, this is my karaoke song, Four Non-Blondes, What's Up? Get out there in your living room, put it on. It's so relevant.
Oh, I thought you were just still naming off to tunes.
No.
You're like Four Non-Blondes, Get Out There, so relevant. I'm like, oh, geez.
Their whole album. Yeah. I'm just reading the track list. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I'm a 22-year-old gal who identifies as a lesbian who has been looking for a girlfriend ever since I came out in high school. However, a few years ago, I unfiltered men on a dating app just out of curiosity, since literally no one who appealed to me would ever message back. I'm very particular and patient about who I date, but I gotta say, I love the attention I get from guys. They're shameless and eager to impress.
God, ain't that the fucking truth?
My first and only relationship in real life was a guy I met on a dating app. He gave me all the attention I could have asked for, pressured me to go out with him before I had much time to get to know him, and I ended up saying, what the hell, why not? I ended up leaving that relationship with a ton of regret. Men and I just aren't compatible. They just don't fit all of my needs. Anyway, I'm a huge gamer, and I met this guy in a game I play in February. He was very soft-spoken and sweet and always very helpful. My friend and I would always refer to him as a pure, sweet little cinnamon bun.
Oh, I hope someone refers to me like that
someday. We refer to cute people as muffins.
Yeah.
I really liked him and wanted to get to know him more until one night I was going through something really hard and ended up in tears talking to him on the phone about it. He helped me get through it. Ever since, I've felt such a strong connection to him that has only come to grow the longer I've known him, which is about 5 months now. So here's the brain boner part. After developing an emotional bond connection with him and seeing what he looks like, I've developed a strong sexual attraction to him.
Okay.
I always ignored it, though, because I valued our friendship and knew that it could ruin things between us. After a while, though, the dreams I had of fucking him turned into dreams of us kissing, to cuddling, to me just wanting to embrace him, hold his face in my hands with our foreheads together, and just be.
Oh, wow.
I think about what it would be like to live together, and I spend I don't know how long just staring, smiling at photos of him happy. I've watched this one video of him dancing, looking so happy, literally hundreds of times.
I'm like, okay.
You're in love. Realistically, I know I don't want to date another man because I believe we're just biologically incompatible, trans men included, of OFC. Does that mean of course?
OFC? Sure, yeah.
I know we'd never be together because we live so far apart, and I know that when I'm in a relationship with someone, I'm needy as fuck, and I don't know how well that would work out between us. I don't know if I'm just infatuated with him because we talk so much and it'll eventually wear off, or if I'm genuinely in love with someone who I want to be with that might not be able to meet all my needs and might not even want me back. I've always wanted a girlfriend, always pictured myself with a girl, and imagined a wedding where I married my wife. But my feelings for this guy just seem to be throwing a wrench into everything I've ever known I wanted. And I'm terrified my feelings will ruin the amazing friendship that we share. What do I do?
See in the chat there, I left a little link for you to open. This is what I think. Listen to your heart. When it's calling for you, listen to your heart. I mean, you know. There's nothing else you can do. Honestly. I don't know where you're going. And all right, I don't know why. All right, we don't have the rights. We don't have the rights to the song. Okay. Don't stop singing it. We can't legally clear this.
I can't. I can't sing it on the show.
No, I'm joking. Fuck. I don't know. Yeah, you know, like.
Oh, such a good song.
It seems to me
that you know.
Yeah, it's like it. Okay, why limit yourself here?
Yeah,
you identify as a lesbian. Okay, that's great. Sure. Now.
You
have identified as a lesbian. Just because you have identified or currently identify as a lesbian doesn't take away from the fact that you have had I know there's probably going to be a lesbian listening to this that gets so fucking angry that I'm saying this, but I think it's true. You are capable of being attracted to the opposite sex. So there's like fluidity there. Right, clearly, like you're fantasizing sexually about this cinnamon bun, and you clearly are capable of at least fantasizing about the feelings that can come from this cinnamon bun. So, I get the whole like you don't want to risk ruining the friendship, but also. I think that when this sort of scenario comes up, and it's two like two like-minded adults who have like a good base for communication. I don't think that every sexual, intimate, romantic relationship inevitably will ruin friendships. I mean, that only happens if you let it. That only happens if it's like a collective thing that happens between two people where there's like a breakdown in communication. And so, you know, I think it's possible to like go into that and to be very like calculated and mindful and to see it through so that it doesn't end a relationship. But I feel like, man, you know, and also just because look, it sounds like you're in love. Let's not put the label on it, but let's just say it sounds like you're in love. Why not go down that path and see how it feels? And if it feels great, do it. Even going down that path and exploring what this relationship could be with this person who you are clearly infatuated with, clearly in it, like invested in some way, it doesn't mean that you can't have a wife down the road.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you won't ever live to see, like, live out this, you know, that other fantasy of like getting married to another woman. Hey man, Somerville or wherever the fuck, Somerville, Massachusetts.
You can move there.
You can move there and, you know.
Start a commune.
Yeah. Yeah. Polygamy is still not legal. However, you know what I mean? I feel like, what will you regret more? Not exploring this one thing that feels so goddamn good and so right and so lovely and never knowing? Or exploring it and finding out, oh, this actually isn't what I want, and now I can pivot, shift, and make another decision later down the road in life. I mean, I always feel like the not knowing is to me is always a recurring like thought of regret of just not knowing what the possibility could have been. Mm. You're not going to know until you know. It sounds like this. I mean, we can't speak for him. We have no idea what his situation is, but it sounds like this could be something really, really special. Mm. Doesn't take away from your identity as a sexual being. Doesn't take away from your ability to connect intimately with other women.
All love matters.
Yeah. I feel it's something too similar problematic about it. Yeah, there's something real problematic about that.
Okay, I'll come up with a different slogan. Yeah, that's nice, Jeremy. I like that. I like all that you said. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I think that's it. I think it's just like, just see it through. See what's there.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Be open to all possibilities, I think, is the...
And also, you know, if you're going to initiate conversation with this person and, you know, just envision... Even if you don't know what the best possible outcome could be, you can still envision, you know, this long-lasting friendship. And you can approach the conversation from that place. And because that's the part that's most important to you. And I said it when I was reading this email, like, oh, you're in love, because I totally know that feeling. And now it's making me feel like also, you said, I'm 36. I'm not trying to be ageist here, but you might be at, you know, when you look back on your life, you're probably going to consider this the beginning of yourself as an adult and exploring your sexuality. And
yeah. Cause what did they say? They're 22.
Mm-hmm, I think so. Yeah.
Hey, so there's so much more room in life for experiences and growth,
and
you know?
and we were one thing one day, and then 7 years later we're another thing. And
I mean,
7 years
like
later,
you and I are a perfect
thing.
Example of that.
Totally.
Of like when I was 22, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined feeling like, you know, and not to get personal here, but like the other day you told me something about Todd, and I got really worried for him and for you. Mm-hmm. You know, like feeling deep. Fucking like love for this other guy that you are spending the majority of your time with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, 22. I had no fucking clue that's where I'd be at.
No,
32,
I thought I was going to marry my fucking boyfriend at the time, and yeah, that was going to be our life forever.
Yeah.
But that being said, I've also, as a feminine, I think I'm mostly, I'm still navigating. I think I, as a feminine woman, I have had many infatuations, brief infatuations, brought on by contexts where we were in shared environments or in a shared activity, often in theater. But also, you know, I'm thinking of the context of COVID. I'm talking about the context of gaming. And I'm talking about the context of, like,
imagination.
Yeah, totally. Totally. There's so much going on here that's, like, rife for this kind of upheaval of emotion and attraction that's happening. And you went from, like, wanting to, you said you were imagining scenarios in which you were fucking him to scenarios where you just wanted to hug. And it's interesting because it does seem like there's a progression of intimacy there from fucking to just wanting to embrace someone. But it's not so much a progression, I don't think, as a range. And I remember when we first opened our relationship, Jeremy, I've been like, I was really like, what would happen to my friendships, all my relationships, if it wasn't like, is this a friendship or is this a romantic relationship? If this was like, oh, this is a friend, but I'd like to hold hands with this friend, or I like to cuddle this friend. And I'm not going to say that I've diversified my relationships to reflect the range of expressions of intimacy that I think is probably possible. I still feel very much like, oh, this is a friend and this is a romantic relationship and this is a sexual relationship or whatever, or this is a familial relationship. But I think there's a broader range of possibilities out there than, like you said, this person biologically doesn't, might not satisfy you. And that's totally fine because no one person is going to satisfy all your needs.
No.
And
you'll never find it.
And if you do find that person, you probably won't respect them. And if you if you find that person, but there's just like that one thing, then you're going to fucking resent them. If you expect any person to be able to provide all of your needs. And I'm not saying like everybody should be in an open relationship. I just mean we have talked to your people about what's like, you know what I thought about the other day, actually, this is sort of relevant. And I wanted to ask you about this is, when it comes to cheating, we have like the physical act and then we have emotional affairs, as they're called, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And from my perspective, which is one that seems to be, from what I can tell, maybe this is totally fake news, I don't know, but seems to be reflected among other cisgendered white women. What was I saying? I totally just lost my train of thought.
Emotional cheating and physical cheating.
Yeah, that an emotional, if my partner had an emotional affair, it would fuck with me more than if, say, they got drunk and made out with someone in a bar or went home with someone.
Sure.
That would fuck with me if someone spent time developing an emotional connection with someone. That would be really fucking hard for me. And so it's like, but if I express this to like my masculine or cisgendered male partner, and, you know, so what I've often seen in these kinds of relationships that I've had is like my cisgendered male partner will be like, well, do you want to fuck them? You know, as a more serious offense than, well, like, are you, you know, confiding in them about how you're feeling, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, it always seems like it's more significant if it's some sort of physical, like, act.
Right.
And that is relevant to what we're talking about because I don't remember why. because I just lost my train.
Well, we were talking about a brain boner.
Mm-hmm. Which I know we're talking to our brain boner. I know that.
Yeah, right.
But along the lines,
you wanted to bring it up to me for some reason. Because you were thinking about this the other day.
Well, I was thinking about this affair situation. I guess it's how it relates to we have attached meanings to what certain acts are involved in different relationships. And then we get sort of like, I don't know, fucked up by them, I think.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, again, I think you should go for it. And explore all the possibilities, and just be open. Just be open to what's possible, and be open to what's available, and be open. And even if that possibility is, it's not exactly what you want after you actually like
totally.
Experience it.
Because sometimes just saying it out loud makes it dissipate.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And then, and in that, just being like the, I think the one thing that the only thing that really matters within this at all is just being cognizant of like other people's feelings, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, and your own feelings too, but like just knowing that if this person feels the same way that you do, to be very clear with them, like, hey, I'm a lesbian. I had a fucking shitty experience with a guy in the past. It's not something I ever thought I would like be going a road I'd be going down again. But fuck, man, I can't stop thinking about holding our foreheads together and
stroking each other's faces.
Stroking each other's faces, so I don't know, just
yeah.
I think there's something there though. There's something there, but you never know.
There's something happening here.
All right. Well, this was fun. Bridie is just swimming in hard work. And so, we're hopefully going to have some regular, guest recordings lined up in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, while you're listening to us and maybe going over to sickboypodcast.com/shows to watch our live show tonight, you can support the podcast by supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/turnmeon. We would really love your support, and to all of our patrons who have been supporting us up to this point and any point in the past, we thank you, because we wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for you.
Absolutely. And we've seen a few, pledges kind of roll in over the last few days, and it's just kind of, you can't even estimate what little heart fireworks go off
every time.
See that. Yeah. Thank you.
And if you ever feel the need to get our unsolicited but solicited advice, you can email us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us with your brain boners, hit us with your hate mail, whatever you like, and we'll probably find a way to read it.
Don't forget to listen to that Brené Brown episode. Mm-hmm. But I'd also like to take this opportunity to mention that transcripts of our episodes can be found at thisten.co, thisten.co.
All right. Thanks all for listening. Hope you have a wonderful July week. Oh, and also happy July 4th to all of our American listeners, if that's your thing.
Thanks for celebrating safely.
Yep. Yep. And listen, folks, just wear a mask.
Wash your hands.
Get the vaccine. Just don't be fucking dumb.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.